animated Cartoon Network show Steven Universe has told the story of a human-alien hybrid boy and the race of aliens called Gems who've helped raise him on Earth. The show has told lighthearted stories of life in the fictional beach city and headed to outer space for a more epic saga about a group of intergalactic leaders, a past rebellion, and a plot to destroy the world. Early this year, the show ended season 5 by resolving its central conflict, leaving the future of Steven Universe uncertain. Creator Rebecca Sugar has said that there will be more episodes, but for now, Steven Universe the movie has just premiered on the Cartoon Network. I'm Stephen Thompson. On this episode of Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR, we catch up on Steven Universe and break down the new movie, so don't go away.
Support for NPR and the following message come from Kroger. Did you know 1 in 8 Americans struggle with hunger? Yet 40% of the food produced in the U.S. gets thrown away. Kroger believes that if just 1/3 of that wasted food could be redirected to people in need, it would more than cover unmet food needs across the country while helping to protect our planet. That's what Kroger is doing through their Zero Hunger, Zero Waste Foundation. Last year alone, Kroger donated 325 million meals to local food banks. It's part of their goal to achieve zero hunger and zero waste by 2025. Learn more at kroger.com/ZHZW.
Welcome back. Joining me in the studio is Gene Demby, co-host of NPR's Code Switch podcast. Hello, Gene.
What's good, Stephen?
It is a pleasure to have you back.
Always.
Also with us is writer Katie Presley. Hello, Katie.
Howdy.
It is great to have you both here. Now, before we talk Steven Universe, a quick word about spoilers. If you are behind on Steven Universe, we do get into some of the basic major plot points of the show that provide a jumping off point for Steven Universe, the movie. If you don't want to know what happens on the TV show in kind of general terms, please save this episode for when you are caught up. Now, Gene, you were a pretty early adopter of Steven Universe.
I feel like I was a late adopter, but then a very vocal late adopter.
maybe you were just a loud adopter.
Late and loud.
That's what it was. That's a story of my life, late and loud.
But you have, late and loud. You followed the show through its many kind of Byzantine plot developments. Mm-hmm. How did the movie land for you?
Well, okay, so obviously it was a wonderful experience, and you had me in my feelings because that's what Steven Universe is like meant to do. It's like weaponized, not in a bad way, but like,
and not really weaponized. It's too peaceful for
that's
that.
Right. but I felt it was obviously like fun to watch, fun to listen to. The music was amazing, and it played up a lot of the central themes of the show about friendship and about redemption, right? One thing that I was thinking about, sort of as I had a little bit distance from, which is not too, I watched it last night, so not that much distance,
right.
But. When we see the character progression, you even hear Paradot make a joke about like, oh no, if the world ends, I will lose all my character development. That usually happens over a longer period of time. And so there's an antagonist in the movie who gets the sort of arc that we've seen for a bunch of characters now, from Lapis Lazuli to Paradot to Bismuth, where they sort of start out as bad guys and are not redeemed, but sort of they just become more complicated layered characters. That happens in the course of an hour and a half movie, and so it felt a little abbreviated.
Yeah.
But I appreciate it because it still was, again, central. It still was in keeping and consistent with this theme in the show, which is that even the bad guys, the ostensible bad guys, have these layers and dimension. The new antagonist, her name is Spinel, which is, I was saying to you guys before we started taping, is a jewel I've never heard of, a gem I've never heard of before.
It's beautiful.
Oh,
it looks like a ruby. I bet they did that on
purpose. at first, she's like very menacing, and they give her a really interesting little backstory, and it complicates one of the central storylines. It makes one of the central sort of invisible good guys much more complicated because you see a way in which she has left someone who cared about her, just forgot about them, and how that person is like warped by this abandonment. But it all happens really quickly, and it would have been nice to have seen this play out over the course of several episodes and not like an hour and a half movie, in which, of course, the 20 minutes of the show is not even about her.
Right.
And so you're sort of truncating this character arc.
And you're truncating it with songs and with an intro that gives you, as best it can, a thumbnail sketch of what has happened on 5 seasons.
Exactly, right.
Katie, what did you think?
I completely agree with Jean. It's funny to say it felt short because the actual episodes of Steven Universe are 11 minutes. Right. So it's funny to say like an hour and a half wasn't long enough. I needed like 10, 11 minute episodes, you know? But I completely agree. And I'm sure we'll dive into this as a group. But the question of why the movie, as opposed to just waiting and releasing more episodes, mm-hmm. remains fundamental to me after seeing it.
Good question.
But I did love a lot, a mm-hmm. lot here to love. And so I'm coming to Steven Universe, and I think why I'm here today to talk about it is because it's super queer, y'all. Mm-hmm. So radically inclusive and compassionate,
yep.
and loving and gay as hell. So basically my driving question was, is it going to stay true to itself? Which is to me, the question to me is it going to stay super queer? And the answer is yes. And I think you hear a lot about Steven Universe as a queer show because a lot of the characters use she pronouns and are in love with other she pronouned beings. To me, the reason that this show is fundamentally queer is because for me, its central, its guiding principle is chosen family, mm-hmm. right. which is completely familiar to a lot of folks with queer identities. Mm-hmm. So Steven doesn't have, his mom's not around, his dad loves him dearly and is present, but not a huge part of his life. Mm. And so in some ways, the show is about him continuing to build through his very human empathy, which these beings, these gems don't naturally have, mm-hmm. building his team by showing them love and teaching them love. And so he is being raised by a group of gems that complement each other and create a really loving, wonderful parenting environment for him. But it still has gaps. There's still so much that he has to do for himself. The other thing that I think is very queer about this show is that it dives into the act of becoming not as natural and exciting always, but painful.
Yeah.
Sometimes destructively painful, and pain as necessary and vital to the act of becoming. And that is something that I think lots of queer folks can identify with, that the act of becoming who you are is not necessarily always immediately a beautiful unfolding. Sometimes it's a really hard thing. And becoming who you are, or in the case of the movie, remembering who you are as embracing your past trauma and pain, is all over the place here. So those two things really landed. Can confirm, Steven Universe, still queer, so I'm in.
Yeah, I mean, I think I had some of the same reactions to the movie. The movie didn't necessarily feel quite as vital. It feels a little bit like a victory lap, and it's a little bit about a victory mm-hmm. lap. In season 5, they have resolved this massive central story that they have been building over the course of 5 seasons. And in this, the movie starts out, instead of starting with kind of an I wish song, here's what I wish were different, it's all about kind of, I am so glad things are finally the way they are.
I can't believe we've come so far. Happily ever after, here we are.
And then the movie sets about undoing that and then trying to reassemble the life that is in Beach City in the beginning of the movie. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I found it to be a very effective kind of collection of episodes of the show with lots and lots of songs. I love the songs on this show.
Absolutely.
Rebecca Sugar, the creator of the show, is also a singer-songwriter and a wonderful crafter of very deceptively simple, deeply emotional songs. And
the key is the ukulele.
The key is the ukulele. And it is a very Disney-styled musical. It is tapping a lot of little Disney notes. The character design of Spinel, I don't want to get away from. It is very Steamboat Willie.
Yes, that was exactly what it was referencing. Yep.
Very early Disney. Just the character design on the eyes. Mm-hmm. When she is a certain kind of character, she has those like very old-fashioned cartoon eyes where the pupils are pointing in the direction she's looking. But then they allow that to change with the character. There's some very inventive character design. When I was trying to write out, like, what is novel about this show? And writing out the plot of this show, There is a surface reading of this show where its themes are the themes of everything, mm-hmm. where the themes are the themes of any number of kids' shows. It's about the importance of kindness and communication and mercy and decency and a basic morality where you care about the lives of other people. And this show has that, but its way of dealing with those things and its view of those things is radical. The number one word I would use in describing this show is radical. Mm-hmm. Its view of redemption and mercy, particularly through the eyes of Steven. Steven has a radical view of these things. Like, he is surrounded by, in effect, gods, mm-hmm. and he has stuff to teach them.
He has powers they can't fathom because mm-hmm. he's half human. He's more powerful than the humans around him because he's part crystal gem. He is more powerful than the gems because he has human empathy. He has feels mm-hmm. to teach them. Mm-hmm.
And that stuff is really powerful. There is a moment in the finale of season 5 that I won't give away in case you haven't gotten to it, but it is just a piece of imagery that is very kind of religious in nature of a character totally wordlessly being redeemed in a way that just knocked me on my rear end mm-hmm. because it is such a compassionate treatment of a villain. Mm-hmm. This show makes people cry. Mm-hmm. And one of the ways that it does that is that it feels like it is teaching not just kids, but anybody watching it, radical lessons about how to move through the world and radical lessons about the power of kindness.
I think this is like one of the things about the show that is always amazing mm-hmm. is like whenever they introduce a new character, there are all these reasons why you could say this new gem or whoever is just off-putting and noisome in some way. And we should
irredeemable
just not, exactly.
in some way.
And they always find a way to show people like act like doing the act of loving someone, right? Doing yeah. the act of mm-hmm. building community around someone. It sounds crunchier than it. I mean, it's definitely like a feely show.
Sure.
But I mean, there's so much about this. I mean, we talked about this before, but like there's so much about the world building of the show that continually amazes me. And people acknowledge that they're difficult, right? Like, yep. It's not this thing where like people are redeemed and they're like, okay, everything's fine. Right. And we're family. It's like paradise, a pain in the ass. I love that character, but yep. you know, the diamonds are, they're better. And the way that Steven sort of like, it reminded me of like the way we talk about just like correcting your family when they right. say like Steven is doing this like sort of.
And what do we do when someone is sad around us? You know, and my diamond is like, we crush them. We ask them if they are okay, you know?
It's like, we're being nicer to lower life
yes,
forms.
And
she's
right.
like, he's like, what is that? And what do we it's like? Uh-huh. What do we talk about? And she's like, I'm sorry, equal life forms.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Anyway.
To that point, Gene, one of the ways that to me the show avoids complete squishiness mm-hmm. is the depth of the darkness that it allows mm-hmm. to happen to these characters. So including maybe especially Steven, who is dealing with super heavy stuff. He's dealing with abandonment, and then he's dealing with really complicated knowledge about his mom,
yep.
who has had a huge impact. Basically, everyone in his life knew his mom except him. His mom cannot exist because he exists,
right.
so he can never know her. And so the show is like wave over wave breaking over him of who this person was and wasn't, mm-hmm. who actually knew the real her, etc. He is not who he is. He's not this loving beam of light just because he is. It feels earned because
yes.
we know that he's come through the dark.
Right.
And Lapis Lazuli, you mentioned, that's a traumatized character. She specifically is traumatized because she was in an abusive
yes.
relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Reminder, this is a Cartoon Network
yes.
show. She's in an abusive relationship with a gem who traps her. They have to stay fused, which is when two gems come together and form a new gem. They have to stay fused to keep the dangerous gem from attacking, right? Lapis fuses with her to save her. And then for the rest of the show, slash her immortal life, she will be dealing with this trauma. So she gets layers of love. She becomes loving. She learns how to love. She is learning continuous tense to love. Mm-hmm. But she is never going to be cured because she has trauma.
Yep.
And it is so brave of the creators of the show to let characters remain broken.
Mm-hmm.
Acceptance of damage is so central to this show. And the imagery, because they are gems, they can be shattered or corrupted. The way that it deals with corrupted gems is it can be kind of a blunt tool to show you, like, you don't have to be pristine to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
You can be different. There can be something funny about your gem that is different than other gems, but you are still okay and worthy of love. To get to the plot of the movie just a little bit, the gems that we know and love, the gems that have raised Stephen and live with Stephen or around him, have their personalities erased. And so the arc of the movie is the arc of bringing them back to themselves.
Right.
And every single one of them, to become who they are, have to remember the good and the bad of their lives. Again, so mind-blowing a concept, especially in a superhero movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to get your powers back, you have to be vulnerable. You have to embrace your vulnerability and your superpower.
Yep.
Wild.
Well, it's interesting, the morality of this show and how, you know, I used the word radical before, and there is a certain purity and consistency to Stephen's adherence to kindness and empathy and mercy.
Mm-hmm.
But the show is never tidy.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time. So, like, the fact that it manages to be consistent in its worldview of the power of mercy and decency, at the same time, yeah, it understands that you're applying that to a world that is messy, and its mentality isn't naive. It manages to be devoted to these very simple rules of how to be without ever making the world simpler than it is.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is really beautiful.
So y'all are music types. what did you make of the music in this film?
I liked all of it. It was a little hit or miss, just in that there were songs that I totally loved and songs that felt, as they were happening, I found myself thinking like, just one more plot. Stop singing. There's so much to cover. We only have an hour and a half.
We have an hour and a half, yeah.
So my two favorite songs were the songs that brought Amethyst and Pearl back to themselves.
Independent together, you and I. Independent together, we can fly.
The Pearl one in particular is fun to talk about because it features the vocal talents of Ted Leo and Amy Mann. I thought that was super fun choice, and it involves new fusions that I think the kids will like. and they're just the ones that I still have stuck in my head.
I found myself in the same way that, like, sometimes I was like, more songs, we have so much to get through.
Yep.
But I also didn't actually mind. I mean, the music was, like, almost uniformly, like, really, really pretty.
I'm guessing that many of you listening at home have many, many thoughts about Steven Universe the show, Steven Universe the movie, Steven Universe the several soundtracks. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/PCHH. You can also follow Gene on Twitter at GD215. That's GEEDEE215. And you can follow Katie at Love is Maroon. Thanks to both of you for being here.
Thanks.
Thank you, Steven.
And of course, thank you for listening to Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR. If you have a second and you're so inclined, please subscribe to our newsletter at npr.org/popculturenewsletter. We will see you all right back here on Friday for a discussion of the new movie, The Goldfinch.
Brian Bulenta is back with a brand new season of stories from all over Latin America and across the U.S. We kick things off with a voice that some of you may have heard.
Dios mío, este hombre es mi doble exacto. Oh, ese perro tiene la cola peluda.
The rise and fall of one of Latin America's most famous voiceover artists and the industry that crumbled around him. Brian Bulenta from NPR. Listen and subscribe now.